Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, guys, hold on. Let me try to get this working. Okay, there we go. Good afternoon and welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. Hope that where you are, you're having a wonderful Sunday afternoon. I want to welcome my panelists and tell them that we appreciate them very much. All of the guys who come in every Sunday to help us work through a lot of this. I've had a little technical issues up front, but we'll work those out and get through it. Hello, guys. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, David.
Hey. Bruce, are you there? I see he's on the... Oh, he dropped out again. Okay, so that's Don. Don, are you in?
Yes, I am. How are you, David?
I'm good. There you go. Okay, so as the panelists keep coming in, there seems to be some issues maybe. The one thing that the big news article, of course, is the impeachment thing. And I know that we are always on politics and we're trying to talk about other things, but, it is what it is. Right now we have a president that, is being, reviewed or inquired about what he's done some things, and they want to, possibly start impeachment proceedings. Now, I do know that all this is about the Ukraine call. It has a lot to do with him trying to get dirt on Joe Biden or the Biden family. And of course, that is interpreted as using your position for political gain. And I think most people don't know that the president can't use his position for political or financial gain. And with this one call that he did, they are using that as impeachable proceedings. So, of course, the president has been, of course, blasting people and saying that people should be their scum for doing this. His attorney Giuliani is fussing and screaming like he always does about people should, because he was also involved in the call. So, Don, what are your thoughts on this impeachment proceeding thing?
Well, David, I think we've been down this road before with former presidents. The one that was really successful was Nixon. And with this one here, we've got a president that is blatant, in your face. I mean, he started out by saying, Russians, if you have anything on Hillary, use it. And he got away with it. And now he's Ukraine, and he held up the money. I mean, it was money earmarked for them, and he held the money up until they got some information or asked to get information on Joe Biden and his son. I mean, you know, what's going to happen is the Democrats are going to proceed with impeachment, but I'm afraid it's going to get held up in the Senate. And then it will be gridlock. This is going to be very interesting. Very interesting, David.
It's true. The fact the Fox News polls say that 64% of Americans think that he did some wrongdoing and that it should be investigated. So even on his own side, with 64% of people saying this should happen, I think it's going to be a little hard. But what about you, Ron? What are your thoughts on impeaching the President of the United States?
Well, you know, I have to agree with everything that Don said. I think this president is not acting presidential. He's not acting like a world leader. And he, in my opinion, of course, because there's people that disagree, he is not representing the United States of America as I think a lot of Americans would expect, and not just Americans, but people all around the world. I mean, he is definitely different than any other president I think we've ever had. And what I'm afraid of with these impeachment hearings or proceedings is that I think it's going to rally his base. I think it's already rallying his base to the point where, you know, because I see it in my own family, my own two brothers, you know, just the fact that the Democrats are doing this, they seem to want to side on protecting Donald Trump even more than before. You know, which I don't understand. I mean, I guess there's always at least two ways to see the same fact, but facts are facts. And, you know, he overstepped his boundaries. And like Don said, I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens. You know, I won't hold my breath that he'll eventually be impeached, but you never know. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Darius, I see that you're there. What are your thoughts on this impeachment inquiry that's about to happen?
Yeah, I've been following it, of course.
Of course.
I believe that the Democrats are definitely going to impeach him. And I, for one, am all for it. You know, I'm so tired of hearing about it. And the Democrats have been promising this before he was even inaugurated. So they want to undo a duly elected president. And I say, let them have at it. You know, every impeachment inquiry up until this date has included some sort of crime or misdemeanor of high treason or something to that effect. And they don't have a crime, but they want to try to make up one. And I think they lose credibility when they say, when you have actual, obvious evidence of quid pro quo by Joe Biden, but the president who questions that and says, hey, I want to get to the bottom of that, he's convicted or he's the one who's actually committing a crime and should be impeached. I think that it lacks credibility on the Democrat side and it shows extreme partisanship. I'm not going to say that I think what the president did was correct. I think you leave that up to the Justice Department. You know, I don't think he acted properly, but I don't think he had ill intent either. I think people are saying this is about the 2020 election. I think it's more about the 2016 election and the president wanting to exonerate himself of the charges that they were putting on him for Russian collusion and showing that, no, we didn't collude. These are the people who actually colluded, which would be the Democratic Party.
So you don't think that calling a foreign country, putting the United States into some type of position, negative position, by asking the president of the Ukraine about an opponent that you're going to run against is wrong? I mean, you say that probably he didn't do it right, but it's not against the law. But you do know that the presidential guidelines are for no president should use his office for political or financial gain. So the quote that they're using is by asking those questions publicly, he committed a crime against the rules of this office. So you don't think that's wrong?
Yeah, I think the question comes to intent. And so if you're saying his intentions were to use this as political gain, then yeah, that's wrong. But if you say, like, I believe his intentions were to reveal the collusion or reveal the vice president's lack of character and integrity is one thing. The president has a right, has not only a right, but a responsibility to expose any corruption that's going on with any foreign companies in America, but foreign countries, I'm sorry, in America. But he has an even more valid right because there's a contract that our treaty that was submitted by Bill Clinton between the Ukraine and America that says that we would communicate and also reveal and publish any documentation or any corruption that's going on between two countries. So if you look at it in that regard, then the president not only had a right to do it, but he also had a duty to expose that.
But the president of the United States has an army of people surrounding him that's their jobs to do. Why is the president of the United States not doing his job and doing the FBI or the Secret Service or the Department of Justice job? That wasn't his responsibility. That wasn't what he should be doing.
I'm sorry. That's where you and I agree. Like I said earlier, I said that I believe that he should have reserved that, you know, that right or just held back on that and allow the other institutions to handle that and investigate that. But I think in frustration, what the president was seeing was no one was making any progress or no one was making any efforts, I guess, to in his mind, you know, to actually reveal the true corruption that was going on. They're focusing on him and a phony witch hunt and phony collusion when you have actual quid pro quo that's going on and nobody's paying any attention to it. So out of frustration, he's saying, hey, if you can help move this along, because this is taking a long time. And if you notice, he didn't even talk about Joe Biden first. He talked about CrowdStrike first. CrowdStrike was the private company, security company, hired to handle the breach of the Democratic, the DNC's server. Okay? Now, it's been a long held theory that CrowdStrike worked for the Democratic Party, and they know who actually breached it. They wanted to blame it on the Russians, but Ukraine actually knows where the server is, where those emails are, or who actually hacked into the server. And so Donald Trump was wanting to bring this to light. I don't think it's about 2020. It's about 2016 and him saying, you guys are barking up the wrong tree. So he was asking a new president of Ukraine to help him to expose this.
But the president of the Ukraine sent out a message recently that he did not think that the questions that Biden did anything that was anything wrong at all. So he didn't know why he was asking him those questions.
I just have to say one thing to that. Now I'll let the panel come in on it. I just want to say, if anybody on this panel or anybody in America believes that this man, that Joe Biden's son, got a $50,000 per month salary to sit on the board of a Ukrainian energy company without any energy experience, okay, or any knowledge of that industry, or got $1.5 billion from China simply because they like him or they think that he could help them outside of being the vice president's son, there's something insanely wrong with anybody who could believe that.
Well, you know what? Let's stop right there. Look at the employment of Donald Trump's regime. It's all relatives. It's related. So how can you say that? I mean, every one of his family members has access to private information of this government and money coming in. I don't understand how you can say that.
Donald Trump's enterprises were in existence before Donald Trump became president. That's the difference. Joe Biden's son never had done anything except get discharged from dishonorably discharged from the Navy. That's the only thing he's ever done. Donald Trump was in the real estate development industry before he ever even considered becoming president. So any international business that he's doing or his children are doing was done before he sought office. You're talking about someone who's never done anything, and all of a sudden he gets $1.5 billion from China, and he gets a $50,000 a month salary from the Ukraine while the vice president is negotiating with these countries? Come on. I mean, that's so obvious. Like, I don't even understand why we're even questioning this right now.
Bruce, where are you going to start on these comments?
Well, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. The other thing that I did some checking on and also heard on television, and as you guys know, I listen to all the stations, not just one side or the other, which to me, that's the best way to be informed. When 85% of the press is slanted one way and the other 15 is slanted the other, if you want to say that, it's a little off kilter. So things said enough times, whether true or not, become true in some people's minds. That's one thing. The other thing I found very interesting is the whistleblower's communique was dated August 12th, and our head of the House, Ms. Pelosi, automatically within days, just before it, I believe it was, changed the ruling from what was considered whistleblower to what to secondary hearsay as well. Check it, gentlemen. It's never been that. It's been first-party information. And now all of a sudden it's secondary. And this person even admitted, whoever he or she is, that, well, I was never party to this. I never heard it directly. So guess what? It's second, third, or fourth-hand information. And all of a sudden now that's a whistleblower class, which kicks it into another set of rules and regulations. It tells me that the other party right now, and I'm just trying to be the foil here on this discussion, as Darius is you got to look at both sides. It's like the Democrats this shiny object didn't work, this one didn't work, so let's just pull the next one down. We've got a whole stack of them, and that's Ukraine, and we're gonna go after them here. And they've got this thing all orchestrated. They're much better street fighters than probably Donald Trump will ever be when it comes to politics. He's not familiar with that. But he did say, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do battle, and it's not going to be pretty. And not only will the Democrats hate me, but so will some of my own Republican counterparts. And that's exactly what's happened. Some of the Republicans have just kind of been quiet or haven't been as fervent in the other side as the Democrats have. And for Pelosi to say, well, he's guilty, they hadn't even seen it yet, tells me that they had the script all written and they had the information checks all checked before they ever started this. She was so anxious to say, I'm in support, that she didn't even wait to get the right timeline and say it after the fact when the whistleblower information came out. So that just tells me how eager they are, any way, shape, or form, to hang this guy, this president. As Darius said, this duly elected president. And don't give me he didn't get the public vote. No, he didn't. But that's not how we elect our presidents, at least not now. And if you want to change it, change it. And one last thing is, if they want to force impeachment, why is it they're not eager to take it to the House floor for a vote? Because
exactly.
They don't want to be put on record as to what they're for or against. And for me, that's shameful. In any party, that's shameful. They should stand up for
what
they do.
They're investigating right now. The proceeding of impeachment has not happened. But you brought up something so very important, and that was the whistleblower, whether it's a he or she. I think that will come out real soon. And this is what I'm thinking. How dangerous is that position as a whistleblower when you see and you hear the president say, well, you know, we used to take care of whistleblowers in a different way? I mean, come on, man. I mean,
Donald, you're right, and some of you said
that's
it.
Gangster.
His bravado, his whatever you want to label it, gets him in trouble all the time. That's just unfortunately his style, and some of that style crosses lines, offends people, or whatever. But you're right. Before this ever gets to quote a impeachment, after the investigation, one, we need to see this whistleblower person. They said, well, we need to protect him or her from being identified. Well, then fine, then do this in secret. I have no problem with that, but you know how long that'll stay secret. And then you need to vote. If you're serious about this, bring it on and vote. And the House of Representatives people will not vote on it. I mean, they're afraid to vote on it because, heaven forbid, they'll have to take a stand and explain that stand, good or bad, plus or minus, to their constituents. They don't want to. I don't want to make a stand. They should. They should. If they believe in it, take a stand.
Well, help me out here. This whistleblower is supposed to come forth within the next week or two. Is it a male or is it a female? And then number two, how will they be exposed? Will we be able to see their face? Will they have a hood on their face? Or will they be behind a wall? How will this whistleblower be viewed by me, the voter, me, the citizen? Can I see the whistleblower?
Here's my gut feeling on. We don't know the answers to those questions right now, but I don't know if you'd agree with this or not. But if it's that important that this person stay unidentified, then we don't have to have a public circus on this, like one after another. Have the proper people, Republican and Democrat, see this person. Question this person, and if you can't trust, if we can't trust our own legislators, then put this person behind a black screen. I don't know, but it does not have to be in exact public. I agree that if truly this person was trying to do the right thing, they should not be exposed. That's what whistleblower protection is all about. But the way this whistleblower protection came about is totally suspect. And it's secondhand information. This person even said that they weren't there. They didn't hear it firsthand.
Yeah, but you always get comments from people doing wrong. I mean, come on. There's things that happen in corporations that are done wrong. We kill the whistleblower spirit, and what does that do? What does that do if we kill that spirit?
No, Don, we shouldn't kill it. I agree with you. We should find a way. These people are intelligent enough to find a way to, I don't even want to use the word interrogate, question where this came from, how you got your information, what do you know? Question this person. I don't care how they do it, as long as they do it confidentially. You and I don't need to see this person because, as you said, that would absolutely destroy this person's anonymity, and that's not right.
Well, based upon what the president has said on how they take care of whistleblowers or what word do you use, treason, or
he said they committed treason. He said the whistleblower.
Yeah. In the hood, we call them snitches, okay? And that's what he was alluding to. Snitch.
What do you call it? Snitch.
Snitch.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's not just in the hood.
And
everybody uses that term.
Yeah.
Well,
Don. There's a way you deal with snitches.
But,
If I was that whistleblower, I would be afraid to even come forward.
Well, this whistleblower was gutsy enough to present the information under the rules that have just been changed. I wonder if you wonder did somebody encourage you to do this? Why did she change the rules almost within a day or two of this person becoming a whistleblower? Because under rules that have stood forever, that would not have been a whistleblower status. It would have been secondhand information, and that doesn't garner that title at all.
And the information was reported to the Justice Department. It was a stacked deck, man. It was a stacked deck from day one.
Yeah,
the whole thing is a mess. He should have said, I don't want to be a part of this.
I agree with you. The whole thing's a mess.
He should have redacted himself. Stacked deck. That's why they're trying to cover it up.
We can't seem to get our legislators to work on anything together or come to any kind of solutions that you and I and the rest of the public would think are admirable or at least workable. They can't even do that anymore. It's something's got to change. And railroading a president without enough or any or whatever words you want to use, information, is wrong also. That's just as wrong, if not worse. If there's hard facts, show them. And every time that question comes up, they shift the story to, well, he's done this and he's done that. Give me the facts. Show the facts. I don't need to know how you got it, whatever. If you've said these are facts, show them to me. They haven't produced one fact that makes him impeachable. That worries me because what's going to happen the next time? Say they are successful and they run this president out of office. My God, what's the rest of our decades going to be every time we elect a president, Republican or Democrat? You think it's gridlock now. It will be the end of democracy as we know it.
Some of the things that this president has done and have been allowed to get away with is ridiculous. And if we continue to allow things to happen like they are, then the future presidents will turn into a dictatorship. This will turn into a dictatorship. He's running like a mob boss.
Well, Don,
there's a reason.
I'm sorry. For all the rhetoric of all the wrongdoings that he's done, there have been multiple investigations. There hasn't been anybody that has been able to point to one crime or impeachable offense
that
this
true.
President has committed. No, it is true.
It is with
where's
no,
one?
Not. They came up with
where's
the it? That he was talking to the Ukrainian president. We all know that that did happen. That is using your office for political gain, which is against
see,
the
no
law.
Wait,
the
David.
FBI,
David.
The DOJ disagrees,
talk.
David. The DOJ
can,
looked at
David,
that. They disagree with that. They don't
yeah,
say there's any impenitible offense there. So there's
they
been
could.
Nobody, no law official, there's been not one person other than Congress political hacks, but there hasn't been one person of legal authority that has said the president has done anything at all that has been remotely criminal or an impeachable offense. Nobody.
Well, the whistleblower is actually part of the intelligence community. Everybody knows that. He's either
yeah,
CIA.
He doesn't have legal authority. He doesn't have legal authority. And like Don was saying, technically, he's not even a whistleblower. You know, if you go by the official, the original guidelines.
Actually, the whistleblower
well,
is actually.
Well, it is by definition now, but Pelosi changed it days
right,
before.
Right, exactly.
I know this is coming, so I better change the rules so it'll be a whistleblower. At least that's the supposition you could, you know, if we're going to assume things, that's what, you could assume that very easily. And one last thing on this conversation with your Ukraine president. They're hanging everything on him doing the nasty deed on almost one word. He used the word favor, do me a favor, or something like that. This is the way this president talks. You know, they say it's Godfather talk. And for shift, and I normally wouldn't say that, but I'm disgusted with him, to sit up there in that committee and parody and make fun of this very serious concern that we're all worried about is beyond my imagination. What the heck is this supposed leader doing? That's ridiculous.
It lets you know that he didn't have anything, because if you got to make it up,
he didn't
know,
have,
then
anything.
Don't have anything. Right.
He doesn't have squat. He never has. He promises this on Russia. He promised it. This is like the third time. Oh, I got it. Let me show it to you. Okay, show it to me. Well, I got it. I'll show it at the right time. Well, this is the right time. Well, I got it. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have anything.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
Well, I was going to jump in, and it kind of slipped my mind what I was going to say, but something
jump in, Ron. Jump in.
Yeah, something that I do want to say is, and maybe Bruce, this is directed at you and Darius. Why do you think all this is going on with Trump? The nation is split. You know, families are split. My own family is split. I've never seen this. Why do you think everybody, well, in your minds, everybody is attacking Donald Trump? There's got to be a reason. I mean, this. I don't think this has ever happened before.
No, I didn't. I never said everybody's attacking Donald Trump. I just said
the Democrats.
Well, yeah, most of them. And they're lockstep. I mean, they even use the same words. There probably are a few that aren't in that, but they're not saying a word. They're afraid to, or they're just not good. They've chose not to because they don't want to get in the fray. But they are excellent fighters in that regard. I think they blow the Republicans away in that regard. But it's just if you've got a press that's slanted so far one way, you can't – and people – and hear that most of the time. But if you change channels, you won't hear it all the time. Then they're going to think, well, that's true. I have little kids on the street. They just mimic what they hear that say, well, he's, you know, a 10-year-old. I had a conversation with him. We got in that. He said, well, the president's a racist, and he's this. I said, do you even know what that means? Well, no, but
yeah,
that's what he is. Yet what, Ron? I'm sorry.
The president we've had. So why is it Trump is not the first Republican president we have? So why is it so bad now? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Oh, it's easy. He's He's the first Republican president, although some will debate that, and they're not even sure he's Republican, that has come in and said, we are going to change this machine that's become subservient to themselves and not to the people of the United States. And if you want to put it in a nutshell. And he promised he'd do that, and he promised he'd get a lot of people mad at him, and all of that is coming true, as you know.
Yeah, he was talking about himself.
So he's not a traditional Republican candidate that got elected president. He's totally a different animal in that regard.
He's a tremendous businessman, I'll tell you that. He's a tremendous businessman. I mean, I'd love to have his businesses going into the presidency of the United States and then not turn in my taxes and just run it the way I want to run it, like a gangster. Man,
well,
I'd be filthy.
You and I know, Donald, too. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's true, but if you made me guess, if you're going to be high, big business, the kind of level of business that somebody like Donald Trump and so many others in the United States are, you've got to give up a number of things that you and I probably wouldn't be willing to give up and do things you wouldn't be willing to do. That doesn't make it right or wrong. I got to guess that that's the case. It's beyond big boys playing. Yeah.
Bruce, he hasn't given up anything. He has not given up anything that you could tell me that he gave up.
What I said was you and I wouldn't do that.
No. You know what? For one thing, they wouldn't let me continually run my operations without showing my taxes. They wouldn't let me do it. I mean, they just wouldn't let Don do that.
But it's not mandated. It's not mandated.
All right. Somebody has a microphone problem. Okay, so our new panelist came in. Michael, we were talking about Trump impeachment. Were you listening? I think that might be
Well,
Michael.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. There we go.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
okay,
hello.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, you said that showing the taxes aren't mandatory. You're absolutely right, but neither was showing the birth certificate mandatory. However, Trump demanded that Barack Obama show his birth certificate. So if it's okay for Obama to show the birth certificate, why is it not okay to show your taxes unless there's something you were really trying to hide or unless you don't want the people to know that you're really not a billionaire like you say you are? Secondly, in regards to if he's a racist, he's clearly a racist. He called African countries S-hole countries. He told women of color to go back to the country from which they came when three of them came from the United States. And he also said that there were good people on both sides during the incident that happened in Charlottesville. So not to mention the Central Park Five. I mean, I can go on and on about the racist things this guy has done throughout his life. So I just don't understand how some people can say he's not a racist. Like, where are you getting your facts from?
Michael,
mm-hmm.
you could build a case by finding language that presidents or future presidents or past presidents have used, including President Obama, including probably the Bushes, including Clinton, including others, you could build the same case. So don't make it sound like this is the only guy that has ever said things that either he meant or were taken out of context. It happens all the time. And these poor public figures that are trying to do well, Republican or Democrat, they have to measure now every single word, every single inflection they use for that word, or they're going to get ripped apart. And if they even get it right, there's somebody out there that's going to say, oh, no, he didn't say it that way. He didn't mean that way. He meant this, not that. So,
okay, well, why is it that every time we on the left point to the horrible things Donald Trump does, the first thing you on the right, guys on the right, you always go, well, they did it. Well, they did it. Two wrongs don't make a right.
You're exactly right, Mike, because the left does the same thing in reverse.
You just did it again.
Well, they do. Both parties do it. Both parties do it. You can laugh about it, but it's not funny. We're at a gridlock like none other. It's not funny.
All right.
I'm concerned, as we all are, including you, Mike. We're frustrated. We don't know what to do as the public on the sidelines watching this.
I'm frustrated because the Republican Party refuses to stand up and call out something that is blatantly wrong. When it had Obama done any of the things this guy's done, they'd have drug him out of everybody's ankles. So where are the guys with the heart? Like, where are the Mitt Romneys in the Republican Party? Where are the rest of those guys who have heart like Mitt Romney?
I agree with you also that they should stand up and call things blatantly wrong that both sides are doing, not
just
one or the other. Well, I'm sorry. You know, the left isn't perfect, nor is the right. They're both bad in some regards. They've both done mistakes. All of them have.
But nowhere near to the level what the Republicans have done.
Yeah, I disagree.
I think we're in uncharted territories, and the reason I say that is because we have one person that came into power that said they were going to turn things around and clean the swamp, et cetera, and take on not just the Democrats, but there's Republicans that don't agree with everything that Donald Trump does. And, you know, we've got one person that think that they can change everything in Washington, and I think that's part of the big problem we're facing.
Well, yeah,
the thing is, the Republicans that used to take him on have turned into pussies. I mean, they just don't say anything now. You know, Marco Rubio here in Florida. I mean, he really embarrassed him. Lindsey, he used to talk about him like a dog, and now he doesn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He's a la Trump. I mean, you know, where are Romney? Where's Romney stand at Utah? I mean, people that used to really have integrity and character, they're not there anymore. And that's what's so
boggling. They're not there at all.
They're not there at all. What happened?
And to mention Ted Cruz, he disrespected Ted Cruz's wife.
Yeah. Hey, man, let me tell you something. In the hood, you talk about my mama, you got a fight on your hands.
You're right about that. Anybody's mama.
He dogged Ted Cruz like a little puppy.
Yeah, he called his wife ugly. Literally called his wife ugly. And Ted Cruz still won't stand up to him.
Why won't the press and the Democrats go after all the things that went on in trying to pull this president down before he ever got started? I mean, two out of the three, and maybe there'll be four or five, but two out of the three thus far have been proven false. And you don't hear any Democrats talking about it. They're lockstep soldiers. Like I told you, they're good at that. And they all say the same thing, whether they think it or not, they say it.
Well, right. I think the younger I'm sorry.
Darius, do you know who Lev Parnas is?
Do I know who, what now?
Do you know a gentleman named Lev Parnas?
No, I don't.
Okay, do you know what Giuliani's job is for Trump right now?
Yeah, he's his personal attorney. He's White House counsel.
No, what is his specific job function right now?
White House counsel.
Okay, his specific job right now is to find dirt on all the political people, all the political presidential candidates for Trump.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
Your opinion is incorrect, but I'm telling you what I read in the news, that his job right now is to find what is all. And Lev Parnas is one of the crew that he works with. He's an American citizen that was born in the Ukraine. And so he's been going back and forth to Ukraine Giuliani has been going back and forth to Ukraine to pick up dirt on all the political candidates running for president. So it seems to me that, you know, when you say, is there something that this president is doing is wrong, this is very wrong, and it's not a secret. It's in the news that that's what Giuliani's job is, and that's why Giuliani keeps coming up in this, what's going on right now, in this impeachment piece about Ukraine, and they keep saying, Giuliani, he's in there because that's his job and that's what he's doing. And he's been going back and forth to the Ukraine to try to get dirt on those people running against the president.
Okay, let me clear that up. He's not White House counsel. No, he's not. He's a personal attorney to the president, to Donald J. Trump, and he's working pro bono. There's no contract there. So he's not White House counsel at all. Kellyanne Conway is White House counsel.
He's not working pro bono. That's not true.
He's absolutely working pro bono. No, he's not. Kellyanne Conway is White House counsel.
No, Kellyanne Conway is. So is Dr. David Justice. I mean, you got several counsel people that are representing him in different cases.
You got a slew of
them. Let me clarify this really quickly, okay? It goes back to what I said earlier. It depends on how you phrase it. The media is saying that his job is to dig up dirt, okay? The president is saying, my job is to expose corruption. So if you want to go with Adam Schiff and CNN that says, oh, he's digging up dirt, you can go with that. But if you go with the legal term of what Giuliani said in his interview with Fox News and with Meet the Press, Giuliani said his job was to defend his client, who was the president of the United States, and the way that he was defending him in the Russian collusion scheme was to go to Ukraine and find out that it wasn't the Russians who had hacked into Hillary's or the DNC server and blamed it on the Russians doing it for Donald Trump. But it was, in fact, the Ukrainians who had a Ukrainian subsidy who had done it, and he went to investigate that claim. And that's how he came about this other stuff. He didn't go to dig up dirt on his political opponents. He went to exonerate his client. And everybody knows, it's like an open secret in Washington, everybody knows that the firm CrowdStrike was actually used to go in and investigate what happened to the servers when the FBI wanted to investigate. CrowdStrike and the DNC party said no. We don't need you to look into this. We've already got it resolved. What the mass majority of people don't know is that the FBI, or no one has ever confirmed that it was the Russians who hacked into to Hillary's server, to the DNC server. And so Giuliani's job was to try to get closure to that, or try to get information for that. And I think you'll see, if you guys wait long enough, you'll see that what Giuliani is doing is getting to the bottom of this Russian collusion thing and this DNC hack that they're blaming on the Russians. It has nothing to do with him digging up dirt on his political opponent.
He admitted to Jake Tapper that he was trying to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. He admitted that.
So he was digging up dirt. What he said was he was exposing the Ukraine and Joe Biden for what they had done. That's not digging up dirt. If you expose something that somebody did illegally, that's not digging up dirt. But that's the phrase that the liberal press is using and the Democrats are using, because if you listen to Adam Schiff's supposedly, in air quotes, parody, saying, I want you to find dirt, I want you to make up dirt. When you use the term digging up dirt, that means you're trying to make up something on a client, are trying to find something. This isn't making up. Joe Biden openly admitted that he did. It's an open.
This isn't just any client. This isn't any client. This is, he's looking for dirt on Donald Trump's opposition,
because
political opposition.
That's not dirt. That's not dirt, Michael. What they're trying to do is they're trying to bring Donald Trump down and saying he colluded with the Russians, when in fact there may be evidence out there that says that the Russians had nothing to do with the hack of the DNC server at all. So he's trying to exonerate
his
client.
That was Robert Mueller's job. That's not Rudy Giuliani's job.
Robert Mueller found nothing.
Robert Mueller found nothing, right.
But the Democrats wouldn't let it go. So Giuliani has to keep going
to get to the bottom of it. There's some dirt.
He has,
what? Some
no,
dirt
he,
that happened.
He has to keep going because he has to find dirt on Biden. He does not have
it's
to
not
keep
dirt.
Going.
It's not dirt when you're exposing corruption. That's not dirt. What you're going to find
yeah,
out,
but see,
and if you guys listen long enough, mark my words, write this date down. If you listen long enough, you're going to find out that the FBI, the Ukraine, Joe Biden, even all the way up to President Obama with the Justice Department, you're going to find out that they colluded with a foreign source, a foreign entity, to rig this whole claim against Donald Trump for collusion. And that's what Rudy Giuliani is trying to expose.
So you honestly with a straight face can say you don't think Putin has any leverage over Donald J. Trump? You can say that with a straight
absolutely.
Face?
I'm saying it with a straight face, absolutely not. There's been no evidence at all to point to that. Nobody has come up with any evidence. You're talking about 3 years of investigations. You can't find one shred of evidence that alludes to that.
Okay, so why does he never say anything negative about Putin?
He has said negative stuff about Putin. This whole thing with the Ukraine, with him selling weapons to the Ukraine, with him, what he did in Syria, all of this is what he's doing in Iran. All of this is directly opposing the will and the goals of Russia. So people who say that, they don't really know what world politics are showing. Like this, what he's doing right now is a pain in Putin's butt. Ukraine can't defend itself without defend itself without the U.S. Syria has Russian interests. So with us being there, we're
all right. I can check that out for a second there. Okay, so
I'm sorry, guys.
Can we change to something positive now?
I'm trying my best to get over there. Because the only thing I got to say is the right. You guys are the best spin doctors I've ever known. You guys spin it
oh,
all.
Oh please, David.
I agree with that statement. I concur on that statement.
Take the template that the Democrats have created, and you can flip it right over on top of themselves, and you'll have it right.
Keep spinning. Ron, why don't you come up with something good we can talk about? What would you like to talk about? We only have like 7 minutes left in the show. So, Ron, what is it you would like to get talked about?
Are you shocked that I'm still on the call, first of all?
Yes, I am. That was my problem. I know you'll be gone in a minute if I don't.
I defer to somebody else. I've been on. Yeah,
I'll give you something. You bring it up. I know you saw it. You had to have. That young man that was at the park and I said, I'm low on beer money, and it generated almost $1 million, and then Anheuser-Busch dropped it. You know about that story. Tell us about that.
No, I actually don't. I've been in business. I've been on mental vacation for a few days.
Let me give it to you real quick, and somebody jump in if I get some parts wrong. He was at a game, put up a sign, said I'm kind of probably as a joke, like all of us can do, hey, I'm out of beer money. Can anybody help me? Well, he started getting money from all over the place. Anheuser-Busch jumped in. Before I knew it, he had hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, I think the end result. And then
with $2 million.
Said, oh, my God. Yeah. Was it up to $2 million?
Yeah, it was up to $2 million.
$2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he said, man, I got to do something good with this. I'm going to give it the Children's Cancer Fund. And then some yahoo in his infinite wisdom says, well, I'm going to put an end to this. He digs up, quote, dirt, as the phrases have been using on the other side, and says, well, this guy had a couple of really bad tweets when he was 16. So what happens? Weak-kneed Anheuser-Busch and says, oh, we're out of here. We're not going to do this because, oh, that's terrible. And killed the whole thing. When this kid had $2 million to hand to one of the best causes there can be, children's cancer. And it's disgusting what we're doing now.
Well, wait. Let's be clear. Those tweets were really bad tweets. You call black women monkeys.
The last caveat is the reporter, they found dirt on him, and he got his butt hiney fired.
Yeah, they both had really racist tweets, one of which the guy called black women monkeys. He called black people lazy and not hardworking animals. So they were really bad, bad tweets, okay? And just going to take it further, Anheuser-Busch gave him his own brand, a temporary brand of beer with his picture on it. So, yeah, he did really gain a lot of traction. So they needed to pull back on this guy. He was an alt-right racist.
Oh, please.
I think nothing says remorse or nothing says reform as raising money for dying kids.
Jesus,
and
yes.
Kids. Nothing says remorse more than that. How can you prove that someone has turned their life around and they've changed when they want to raise money for dying and sick kids? Are you serious right now, Michael?
So if Hitler were alive and he raised money for dying kids, you'd take that money?
Yeah, absolutely. If Hitler apologized for what he had done, why wouldn't you?
Well,
you're helping someone.
That's deep. That's pretty deep.
Doubt.
I wouldn't take that money. That's pretty deep.
Wow.
Well, if my kid was dying and Hitler wanted to pay for my kid to have procedures that would help them live, I'd take it in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
And you forgive Hitler and give him a hug.
I wouldn't let my kid die because I'm trying to prove a political point.
So yeah. You just overlooked the 6 million.
And then the
you'd overlook the
6 million
people Hitler killed.
Oh man, Michael, you need to open your mind a little bit, sir.
Please.
And your heart.
All right, guys.
Oh yeah, okay.
Bring that thought to a close. Huh. Let's go on. Try something else. Don, you've been quiet for the last few minutes. Talk about something else. Give us something good to talk about.
Well, you know, the thing is, I remember peace and love. What happened to the peace and the love, man? What happened to that? You know, America has a heart problem, man. I tell you, we got a heart problem. You know, our hearts have been damaged, man. We got a lot of unfinished business that we need to take care of. We're on cardiac arrest, bro. And the thing is, man, I'm just living my life, and I'm wondering. I say, man, when is it gonna get better? When will we get a peacemaker in office that will just teach us how to love each other and get along with each other?
We had one for eight years with Obama. We had one for 8 years with Barack Obama. We had one.
Racial tensions went up under Barack Obama. You were talking about Charlottesville earlier, you know, and other stuff that happened, but you know, there were more things that happened under a Barack Obama in an effort to say, you know, hey, let's show that we are, you know, accepting. You had more racial tensions, you had more riots.
But Obama wasn't pushing that, though. Obama wasn't
neither is Donald Trump.
Hey, but see, gentlemen, all that came about by unresolved issues. We never resolved racism in America.
I agree. We put a Band-Aid on it.
When he came in office, they said, okay, racism is over. See, we just gave you a black president, so you guys go home and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not okay.
I agree. I agree 100% with that.
I hate to break it to you guys as a black man, but it will never be resolved. We just have to learn to move forward, and we have to learn to assimilate and come together as one. You can never repair or go back and change anything that's happened in the past. All you can do is move forward. And if you continue to believe that way, if we continue to try to pay for the sins of our fathers or force someone else to pay for the sins of their fathers, we'll never move forward.
We've never tried to pay for it, though. That's the problem.
We need to send racism to a 12-step program.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, look. Hey, Barack Obama eulogized Robert Byrd, who was the grand kegel of the KKK.
See, I have the power to turn the mics off on this one.
But you won't. You won't do that.
I just did it. What are you talking about?
Oh, you did?
Now he's back. But anyway, I was trying to
shame on you, David.
I know, but it's a shame on y'all for not letting me come in and move this along.
You said you were under the weather.
I am under the weather, but I'm not under knocking off mics either. But anyway, so we got to move forward. I wanted to thank everybody. It seems like a good conversation. It's one of those conversations that's never really going to end. We could keep talking about this forever, so we probably will. But anyway, you guys have a great week. I hope all of you that are listening will come back with us next week, join in, and let's hear your views on what we're talking about. So, guys, have a great week.
Each and every one of you go out and do something kind for a stranger. God bless.
Once again, you've been listening to The Man's Voice every Sunday, 6 p.m. So join us again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have a good week.